Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sleva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sleva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sleva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. It's Wednesday. That means we're catching up on what's been going on in our business, but we've also got some questions we're going to answer today. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up and we've addressed those issues in the course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy-to-follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you've got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the training tab, and book a call with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We'll tell you all about our journey. We'll tell you about the course, and then we'll answer any questions you have. The whole thing should take about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's it. There won't be any pushy sales tactics, and at the end of the call, if it's a good fit, great. We'd love to help you get started and see you reach your goals.
Happy Wednesday.
Why are you laughing so hard?
I was taking a selfie of us while you were doing that, and you kept looking up like you were getting mad.
No, I wouldn't get mad. I was
like,
what
in the heck is he up to today?
No, I'm pretty good at ignoring you. I was thinking about what I was saying because I kept having to correct it.
Oh, man, what's up?
It's Wednesday, man. Just
chilling,
grinding through the week.
Just grinding, you know, just grinding. Doing my thing, buying the land, selling the land.
I feel like things are kind of slow. I skipped a mailer.
What?
Yeah, because we got some things that we're working on, and you know, some big things coming, and and so I skipped a mailer right now to
put some time
and a little bit of capital and into a different direction.
It's funny that we have to kind of, because you can't just like, oh, I'm gonna skip a mailer today and think that you're gonna not be busy next week. No, if you skip a mailer today, it's usually, you know, a month from now that you're not busy. So you have to plan that out on your business. That's crazy. I like that. I did the same thing, but then I miscounted. Because for those who use Plum, I will be in Canada for a week, so Plum will probably be shut down because I'll be off-grid. And my partner that I have with Plum, he works, and he's a silent partner. So he's, unless there's an emergency, will he get involved. But
you going to tell everyone where you're going to be?
I'm going to Canada hunting a Canadian black bear.
All right.
So
you're ready.
I'm going to be sleeping. Yeah, I got all my stuff in. Got some new camo. I got a camo ghillie suit, a camo rain suit, camo short sleeve, camo long sleeve, camo three-quarter sleeve, camo.
Okay, there, Bubba, we got it.
I got a lot of camo.
All right.
I'm feeling camoed up.
Got a ghillie suit. Is that necessary, or is that just for fun?
My dad bought it for me.
Oh, okay.
It was my birthday present.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, it was a real nice thing. It's cool because it doubles. It's a ghillie suit, but it doubles as an insect, like a repellent, like an insect suit. So I've never hunted Canadian. I've never been springtime hunting for Canadian black bear.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's big mosquitoes up there.
Mm.
I wouldn't think that in Canada.
I don't know what, I wouldn't know what to think about Canada. Is it going to be cold? I don't.
He told me to dress for 80 to 30.
What?
Yeah. So like, luckily Cabela's has like a springtime bear, you know, like hunting guideline. Hey, things you need. And so he printed me off a list of, he's like, okay, you need to make sure you have all this. And it was like, that's why I was laming off the camo. It's like, bring a camo jacket, bring a camo rain suit, bring a camo wool shirt, bring a camo short sleeve shirt, bring a camo like dry wick shirt, bring a camo. I'm like, it's like one of camo of everything. Like I'm gonna have to walk through Walmart just grabbing stuff. Luckily Amazon hooked me up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So my wife was like, how much money have you spent on this trip? I was like, really? It's not that bad. But it's not that bad. I had to buy a thermosel. You know what that is?
A what?
Thermosel. It's like this, looks like a kind of like a, I don't know how I, like a 1990 cell phone that has a vent mesh thing on one end, and you put butane and a mat in there, and you wear it, and it creates a 15-foot bubble around you of mosquito protection.
Mm.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
And are you going to be like way overdone? Like, did you overdo it? You're going to see some like...
I'm going to be like Inspector Gadget out there.
You're going to see some experienced Canadian hunters looking at you like, who is this clown?
He's got like his Davy Crockett hat on. That's, I mean, that's to me like what hunting is like you wear like your Davy Crockett hat, you got your knife in your teeth, and you just like, I should be running at these bears. I think that we'll probably be... Jessica's like, oh yeah, the lodge you're staying at. I was like, I think we're sleeping in a tent. Mm. Oh crap, I forgot to buy a mat for my sleeping bag. Crap, I'm about to find one. I need to double check that list. Mm. That could be an uncomfortable mistake.
There's another thing. The city boy is setting up his bedroom over there.
Yeah. They're sleeping out in a hammock. That'd be cool too. Maybe I should take a hammock. So yeah, that's coming up. So for the Plum listeners and clients that work with Plum, I will be gone. So it'll be limited response. I believe that we will spend a little bit of time in the lodge once everybody's gotten a bear to do some fishing. So I may have some Wi-Fi there, but I'll be really limited on what I can do.
Cool.
So if you're closing properties this week, make sure you close them after the 13th.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have some things to go over today.
Oh.
It's going to be free talk, but...
Okay. So I'm going to answer these questions as I would answer them if they were coming from you and we were having a beer. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay. I had two Krispy Kremes this morning. I'm feeling good.
Two Krispy Kremes. Okay. Well, so everybody has heard of, they haven't heard his voice or they don't know him well, but Intern Brian.
Intern Brian. We love Intern Brian. Yeah.
He sent us some questions he wanted to hear and we didn't really know if they were worth
a full episode
because, okay, you know, some of them are technical. We're not experts. So we're going to give our...
We're just two dudes that like to buy land cheaper than what we're going to sell it for.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, how do you structure your business in terms of tax strategy and accounting?
So this is a thing that hangs up a lot of people. And me personally, I set up my LLC about 3 months into the business. I went up and set up an LLC. And that way I could get the tax benefits and the security of the LLC. But everything else after that, my suggestion would be keep track of every expense and ask your accountant or your CPA. You do not need to have a CPA before you buy your first piece of property. So don't start paying for something like that. Just keep track of it in Excel spreadsheet. Go from there.
Yeah, just follow up. I would say you don't need an LLC to do this business.
Nope.
I did it because I thought, oh, you need a business. You need an LLC to do this.
It makes me feel good. I'm CEO.
Yeah, I'm a business owner, right? And then I do keep track of my daily expenses. Mm-hmm. I know them inside and out. Mm-hmm. And everything else goes to the accountant. Yep. I don't put too much thought into it because you don't want to overthink all this stuff. It's not your job. You're not the tax professional. You're not the lawyer. You got people that do that.
That's the thing. So many people want to take the burden of all these things on themselves. If you have your numbers and you know what they are, so say you spent $25,000 on property, you sold it for $50,000, so you have $25,000 in profit, and then you write off the expenses for whatever else is in there, your accountant knows what to do, and then hopefully they're saving you money, and they find that you lost $5,000 that year, mm-hmm, even though you really put $25,000 in your pocket.
Okay, next question. Do you have any liability insurance or other protections for your business?
I don't. The LLC protects my personal stuff from it because it's separate. The liability insurance, I did look at that with a couple different insurance agents, and we talked about doing like a blanket policy. And since I had some other property, like houses, we did a $1 million blanket policy just to kind of cover me for the stuff that I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the insurance for me, I've been thinking about it, but as of right now, I don't have anything.
I mean, if somebody says, hey, Justin, I'm going to go out to look at your property, I say, okay, great, as long as you know you're doing it at your own risk, mm-hmm, just kind of a liability, and you can put a waiver in there if you want. And then, you know, the hold harmless agreements in a lot of your contracts, you should have some kind of hold harmless clause in either your advertising or your contracts. And so those tend to help you.
All right, next one. How much research do you do on accounting before mailing?
Mine's funny. So like I go by state, and we've talked about how I price and pick counties. So I pick a state and I'm like, okay. And then I start scrolling it because I'm searching. I price by margin and price that I want to spend, and I know what I'm going to pay for it and what I'm going to sell it for. And then I look for the prettiest pictures. Mm. And then from there, I usually do a quick check to make sure there's a metropolitan area within 200 miles.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. How much research do you do? I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, I do enough to look for the things that I'm looking for, mm-hmm, and that's about it. I steer away from paralysis by analysis.
Yep, I do check to see if it's on parcel fact.
Yeah.
I do check to see if I can get the assessor's information. One thing I'm going to have to add that I have never had to worry about was like getting the deeds. I found a county that I couldn't get deeds in, and that bothered me. Yep. That was here recently.
Yeah, I kind of look for, is it somewhere I want to be? Does it have a good county website? Can I get it on Parcelfact?
Yep.
I like pricing consistency. If I'm going to mail the entire county one price, yeah, it's not a ton.
Not a big stuff.
All right. Do you have a buyer's list and wholesale list? And if so, how to use it?
I got a few people I know that work in certain areas that I'll reach out to on stuff. But if you're listening to this and you ever see a property I have listed, it's for wholesale too. I mean, you just call me and reach out. So no, but as for a list, we started actually capturing stuff with Casual Friday, our email list here. And then Land Mule, we started building our list out there just for people that have been visiting. And we send out 3 times a month, we send out a deal that we, you know, offer. It may be $5,000 off a property, or it may be, you know, some property that we have picked up pretty cheap, you know, $400 or $500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a buyer's list. I collect everyone's email that has ever responded to me off of Craigslist ads, off of lands websites, whatever. Just keep that email and build a list. Same for me. If you see a property, there's probably a good chance there's also a wholesale price on it. And yeah, we'll mail the people. But I also use Land Moto's list.
Yeah, we do. I use his as well.
Yeah, and I get sales on that all the time.
You do? I haven't. I've gotten one lead off that damn thing.
I don't know, man. It's so weird because I get sales from Land Moto and Craigslist, and I hear other people saying that they don't.
I don't.
And I don't know if I've ever sold anything not on those two, and I advertise everywhere.
Yeah. Huh. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. So there's not one way. There's not one right way.
Yeah. Do you ever run a sales? Like, do you ever run a sale for your properties? If so, how do you do it?
Everything's on sale on my property. Yeah, like I'll do like cash special prices, and it's just usually it's the title of the ad that I have out there. I may put another ad out and then just change the title up a little bit and change the picture to try to drive more traffic, especially if something's getting a little bit old or stale. Mm-hmm. I will do that.
Yeah, I'll pick a holiday and I'll be like Memorial Day weekend sale, no dock fee and $500 off.
Okay, cool. You
know, that's probably about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dang.
I thought we had something else, but no, that's it. Those are good questions.
I think they're great questions. You know, it's the technical stuff that everybody seems to get hung up on, you know, and that's, I think, the difference between like a newer investor that becomes a little more seasoned and they get like probably you and me are, and I could speak for a lot of guys that just kind of have that, we'll figure it out if it comes up kind of mentality. We are willing to take that kind of blind faith jump and say, hey, I'm not going to worry about what my accountant's going to say right now. My accountant's paid to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like having an attorney. You pay your attorney to fix the problem, not to, unless you're going for advice prior to, but it's not to give you advice after the fact. Hey, no, I messed up. I need you to fix it. What do I need to do? Because there's always a corrective way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people ask me technical questions, like just kind of like you said, and I'm just like, I don't know. I'll figure it out when it happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like the smart, because it's kind of odd for my personality because everything is like very set and measured and standard.
I think
standard.
I'm rubbing off on you.
I don't know about that.
Is that why you hug me twice a day?
I do not hug you twice a day.
Yes, nope. You do.
No.
Coming and going.
That would mean that I saw you twice, at least once a day, and that doesn't happen. But yeah, there's just like so many things that if you get hung up on, you're going to not do deals, or you're not going to do something because you're so worried about the technical aspects, and a lot of them are just in your own head because they don't really matter.
I need my business card, Adam. I cannot send a mailer until I have a business card.
Well, I mean, that's a valid point, though. You know, if
you can't talk about it if you're not being about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that right? Or you got to be about it to talk about it?
Don't talk about it, be about it.
Yeah, I know, but if you're not being about it, you can't talk.
You can't talk about it.
So you got to be about it on that business card,
or your website, or
yeah.
I don't know. I think that one of the biggest flips profit-wise that we've ever heard, some guy who doesn't have a website, period.
No. Biggest one that we've you know, consulted and were a part of was bought for $300, sold for $525,000 day one on the market.
Was $225 profit?
$225 clear profit in his first land deal.
No website, no buy site, no sell site, no nothing.
Nope. And then he bought three in that county because we did his pricing and did everything in that county. And he bought three, and I think that county ended up paying him close to $350 back.
So that'll get you hooked.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's pretty aggressive on pricing now. He's a statistician guy, so he's like pretty aggressive. And I talked to him yesterday, and he was like, man, I mailed these three counties. I haven't gotten nothing back yet. But it's with him, he's so like anxious all the time about doing a deal that he's probably only waited 10 days, or it hasn't been 14 or 15 days. It's crap. And I'm like, well, what else are you doing? Well, I'm looking at these 13 leads that came in. They're all junk, though. They're all junk. And you're like, whatever, man. because I think he sent 21,000 mailers out on houses so far this year.
Wow. Yeah, patience is a virtue here.
Yep. Just got to keep doing deals. So what's going on with you?
Well, I'm working on some, we are working on some bigger stuff, but I mean, I wish I had a whole lot more to talk about with my land business. It's just, I bought a bunch of stuff last month. It's all closed and it's in the marketing pipeline. And
nice.
That's it. I'm really happy with the properties I bought last month. Like, all of them are really stellar and it's, things are good. But now I skipped a mailer and we're working on our stuff.
Yeah. My property guy that I said on a piece of property that just didn't show up to closing, like, he had his paperwork, told me he was going to sign it, never signed it. We can't find him still. So he's got a deadline of what we, so it'd be yesterday that we're closing escrow if he doesn't answer. So the cool thing was, is like, in this business, as it happens, is, you know, I still had mail out there. I bought three more properties while I'm sitting there. And so, like, I bought a 60 acre this week, a 12 acre this week, and a 20 acre this week.
Nice.
So, yeah. So the buy side's still looking really good. Sell side has a couple contracts out. And then I had four this weekend, you know, we're finalizing negotiations to get them up listed. I've got, I think, 10 or 12 properties with people out on them this weekend or this past weekend as well. And so since we're recording Saturday this week, you know, by now I should know. So either I'll be getting on the plane to Canada feeling good with money in the bank for the last half of the year, or I'll be killing a bear out of spite.
Yeah, you know, I actually just did think of something that I was dealing with. I was going to bring this up, talk to you, but so when I first got into like the owner financing stuff, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just going with it, right? And so I didn't tell people that they couldn't get on the property, like they couldn't live on the property. Uh-huh. And so some of my very first owner financed 5 acre deals, two of them, uh-huh, that people emailed me this last week for contracts because they're trying to get permits to build on it. And
they should be almost done though, paying off, huh?
No.
Oh, wow.
6 year notes. And
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
well, at least they're getting permits.
Well, the permits would have to be in my name because
I've got one that lives out on one of mine. I've got one that put a cabin out on one. I had one that had a house on it. Remember in Oklahoma, in McCurtain County, the family lived in their RV up there on the weekends. They were down from like South Texas, went up there on the weekends. And when she saw it had an old house, she asked if she could fix the old house up. And I said, it's yours. It comes with it. Mm-hmm. And they rebuilt the house and they're living in the house.
Oh, so you're okay with all that?
At this point, I'm money ahead.
Yeah.
I just smile about it and laugh. That's the point of why we set up some of our terms businesses the way we do. Some people are like, oh, you got to babysit them. You got to chase them down. Mm-hmm. They don't want them to build. If you get your money back on the first side, you know, you keep going. You could get into that litigation later with them if you need to, but get your money back as fast as possible and reap the rewards. Now they have a vested interest in it.
Yeah, but I don't let, nowadays I tell them they can't live on it permanently. I said, you can enjoy it. It's your land. Treat it as your land. Do whatever you want. Just don't build anything permanent until you're done paying it off. Yep. But I didn't do that at first.
And yeah, I put a no primary like residency clause in it.
But I didn't when I got started. And so now I'm going back and forth. Like, I haven't emailed them back yet. I've kind of avoided it until I'm trying to figure out what to say.
Are they going to mortgage it or are they going to build it cash out of pocket?
Don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I mean, worst case scenario, they improve it.
Yeah, I guess so, because then you go foreclose on it, right? And you get everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just one of those things we're going to end up having to learn one day.
Right? Yeah.
So you either write it off, show it as a business loss. Thank you, Mr. Taxman.
I don't think I think that they're good payers, which is why I'm like contemplating just being like, yeah, okay, whatever. So if you need a permit, let me know.
Yeah.
Because only one of them has been late, and he was late one time, and he was emailing me like, dude, sorry, payment's coming.
Yeah.
So I kind of trust him, but you never know. You build a house on it, and then you're like, eh.
I don't need this.
Yeah. Or, you know, I've got the house on it now. Uh-huh. What's he going to do if I stop paying for it?
Yeah. Go to my land and use my tractor and bulldoze it.
I thought about that too. What if you just show up?
With a bulldozer?
Oh, yeah, you show me like, hey, I'm Adam. You bought this from me and you quit paying.
Yeah.
It's my land.
Just mine.
Yeah.
It's my kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well.
You got anything else?
No. It started getting the summer, so I know the parents are getting a little bit distracted. I have been at home because I work for my home office, and having Jackson and Jordan and Kaysen, he's found my office. And so if you follow me on social media, you'll see occasionally his picture of him at my office door, and he likes to come up to it and beat on it till I turn around and smiles, and I'm just like, man, this is so cute. I told Jessica the other night. I was like, she said, did you figure that out? And I was like, figure what? That an office away from here is only $200 a month at WeWork? yeah, I did. And she's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You're not leaving me here with these hellions all day. Because our twins are active, man. And they tag team you. And they don't stop. They're relentless.
Yeah. Kind of switches a bit. You said following on social media. Mm-hmm. And so 18 years ago, the whole thing that got me excited, like in real estate, was when Flip This House started on A&E.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch it when it came out?
I watched some. Yeah, I've
seen. Okay. Do you remember like Armando Montalongo?
Yeah. I remember that guy from San Antonio.
Yeah, he followed me on Instagram yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
It's probably a bot.
It probably is, and I know that because I understand how all that works.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, this guy is the reason that got me into it.
Yeah.
And whether it's him or a bot, they followed me. And so I didn't follow back because, once you follow back, the bot
deletes you.
So I just kept it.
But after 7 days, they delete you.
Well, for right now, I'm like, yeah. He's got the blue check next to his name. And
man, he's verified. You got verified friends. You're special. You know how to get a blue check next to your name, right?
Well, I listened to a podcast about it the other day.
Yeah, it's not difficult. You just got to turn Adam Southey on Facebook into Adam Southey business page, and then it'll verify you.
See, that's not what I heard.
That's what I read. I Googled it.
Remember that I told you about the guy that went to 1 million followers, real followers in 30 days.
Uh-huh.
He explained it. It's tied to media.
Okay.
So it's still not that hard. You get like a media to publish something you said and then you submit it. And then if they say, well, that's not enough media, then you go somewhere else and you get like someone else to quote you.
Casual Fridays media, bro.
No, like a big time media thing.
I think we're pretty big time.
Well, I think we are too, but we're not like New York Times type big.
So you mean, so no, because I see some people that are verified.
I'm telling you that this dude got 1 million followers in 30 days, and this is what he said.
Well, if you're one of these big news publications that wants to sit down and talk to us, we are more than welcome to sit down and talk to you because we want to get Adam his check.
I think the way you get that, you send them stuff, and if they like it, they quote it, and then you send it to Instagram and say, well, look, they quoted me.
We're going to have to find us a media agent, I think. Because we are not at that. No, I think we are. I think you could see us. Our stuff is real. It's raw. It's fun. And, I mean, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're happy. You know, I'm stoked because when you read the numbers last week to me, that what our track or trajectory is, we're like five times over what we thought our yearly goal was when we started this thing. Like, we sat down and said, hey, this is what our yearly goal is. And at 6 months, we're five times that.
Yeah, so you're talking about podcast growth and download.
Yep.
So we had what we thought was a pretty reasonable goal.
Yeah.
And we're sitting so high above that. And I'm really happy because it shows that like people are listening, but it shows that they keep listening, which hopefully means that we're putting out stuff they like and it's value driven.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And on top of that, more people are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because you don't see trajectory
unless
you add more listeners. And so that means we're being able to touch a few more people every time. And it's not... There's not paid advertising behind this. There's not like the secret mogul advertising company that's running the advertising says, hey, go listen to Casual Fridays. No, it's organic growth because like you said, hopefully we're providing some sort of value and content for our listeners. So we thank y'all for that because that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm. And if you like us, show us. Go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like and a follow, and then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It means a lot to us. We love you. We'll see you Friday. Have a good one.
You have a good day.